So please welcome him.
While this is loading up, I apologize. I have a cold, and so I have a cough drop in my mouth. So if I'm not clear, please raise your hand. I'd like to start by acknowledging my collaborators on this project, including Junho Yu, who's in the audience here, from the Institute of Public Health Genetics at UW. This research was supported through a small project R03 grant from the National Cancer Institute, and I'd like to acknowledge their support in this work. Hematopoietic stem cell transplantation hematopoietic stem cells are immature blood cells that can become different types of blood tissue. And one treatment that's becoming increasingly sought after for leukemias, lymphomas, and other blood disorders is to take a patient's abnormal blood cells and to destroy them, then to transfuse new hematopoietic stem cells, either from themselves or from other patients or from other donors, to replace those cell lines. Hematopoietic stem cells can be collected from the bone marrow or peripheral blood via minor procedure, either from the blood, the bone marrow, or from the peripheral blood. Although I'll use the term bone marrow donation or bone marrow transplantation, in point of fact, actually, most of these procedures are happening from the peripheral blood these days. The success of this procedure depends on making a close match between the tissue proteins on the blood cells of the donor and the patient to prevent the graft from being rejected or from the graft attacking the host. The closer that these proteins match together with the patient, the better the chances of long-term survival. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find matches within their own family. So to facilitate unrelated donors from matching needing patients, the National Marrow Donor Program maintains a database of more than 6 million potential donors and helps to facilitate more than 3,000 of these transplants annually. Potential donors are recruited through the local efforts of the National Marrow Donor Program partners. In the Seattle area, it's the Puget Sound Blood Center. Physicians then, who are representing the patients who need these, contact the NMDP to review the database for matches. The local centers then contact these potential donors to complete the donation process, which involves coming in for confirmatory typing, physical examination, and completing some health information. And the chances of finding matching hematopoietic stem cells improve when you consider donors from within the same racial and ethnic group. Unfortunately, Asian Pacific Islander Americans are less likely than other groups in finding suitable matching donors. 3/4 of Asian Pacific Islanders searching for a potential match were able to find a potential match, compared to almost 9 out of 10 whites. Overall, less than half of those potential donors were able to complete all the steps necessary for donation. So only 44% of the people who are potential donors went on to go through all the steps that were needed for the patient, compared to 2/3 of white donors. So we wanted to try and understand and develop an in-depth understanding of what were the knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs and factors that influenced one of these communities, in this case Korean Americans in Washington State, to enroll in the National Marrow Donor Program Registry as potential donors. Our long-term goals are to also to learn the factors that influence continued participation over time or drop out from the National Marrow Donor Program Registry. I don't have to tell this audience about qualitative research, but for those of you who aren't familiar, we use these methods to identify sensitive social factors influencing behaviors and complex behaviors and beliefs within the cultural framework of a target group. And in our case, we were guided by grounded theory principles. The partners within the community that I want to highlight, one is the Korean Marrow Donor Campaign, which is an ad hoc group that arose because a very prominent member within the community developed an adult leukemia and needed a transplant. And the Puget Sound Blood Center, who, as I mentioned, is responsible for partnering with the National Marrow Donor Program. What I'm presenting today are 21 qualitative interviews among Korean adults aged 18 to 60 from one of 3 donor registry drives, and these were actually all done at Korean churches in the area. We deliberately targeted those both who registered that we're going to call enrollees and those who declined to register into the program, non-enrollees, and we were interested particularly in that contrast. What were the differences, if any, that we saw between those enrollees and non-enrollees? What made them different? The staff were bilingual, and they conducted these semi-structured interviews that were audio-taped, then translated and transcribed. And our team then analyzed these transcripts to identify the knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs about stem cell donation. Most of the participants were female. The median age was 40. You can see here that about half reported their English is fair or poor, and most, nearly all, spoke mostly Korean at home. I'm going to present some representative quotes from some of these transcripts to illustrate some points. First, anxiety and pain, anxiety about the pain particularly, were very frequent barriers to willingness to donate. This enrollee stated, "Honestly, I'm scared. I think I'd be scared if there's a person who needs my bone marrow, because I saw on TV that they use this big needle-like thing to extract the marrow from my backbone. I don't know how I will react if I receive a call to donate." And the second enrollee said, "I didn't hear anything good about bone marrow donation. I heard it's a very painful process for the donor and takes a long time. I didn't know any of these things when I enrolled. Later, I told some of my friends that I enrolled. What they told me wasn't good." And, you know, because most of the people who are presented here are actually enrollees, enrollees, you're going to see mostly quotes from enrollees, and I should say that we didn't actually see systematically many differences between the enrollees and non-enrollees in these statements. Even those that were altruistic about their wanting to donate often hedged their statements of wanting to donate. This first quote says, "Of course I'm willing to donate. As long as the donation doesn't get in the way of my life, I'm willing to donate. I enrolled in the program because I thought it'd be a good idea, as long as the marrow donation does not interrupt my life." This interviewee went on to repeat that sort of phrase over and over and over again. "As long as this happens, then I'm willing to donate." Ambivalence about the donation process was very common among both the enrollees and non-enrollees. And this enrollee said, "Why do you think some people change their mind?" And he said, "Maybe they're afraid, but I believe somewhere in their heart they want to help. It's just that they cannot overcome their fear." And this female said, "I don't know why I did not enroll. I feel bad about it. I mean, the setting of the drive was even church. It should have motivated me even more to volunteer. But I held back because I didn't want to do this." For those that were the enrollees, they really went through sometimes very elaborate statements of how everything had to be aligned perfectly in order for them to complete the steps involved with ultimate donation. This enrollee said, gave a story about how those things weren't aligned the last time he was called. 10 years ago, I received one call as a potential donor. I was too busy at the time. I was a student and had two jobs. I was out 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. I told him I would do it later. I haven't received a call since then, and I feel regret that I refused to do it. So I signed up now again, and I wish I could make it up. These were, by and large, mostly first-generation immigrants or sort of 1.5-generation immigrants. And so oftentimes there is a discussion about the specific challenges facing the Korean community and the challenges that they face and how that acts as a barrier to ultimately donation. This enrollee said, "Since our immigration life is tough, we tend to be heartless. First-generation Koreans struggle to make a living. Since they're busy taking care of their own business, they have no room for others in their heart. Even though deep down they want to show interest, they give their priorities to their own business and their family." The second quote, which I won't go through, talks through about the barriers and specifically about the language barriers that are facing some of the potential donors. Both the enrollees and non-enrollees went through over and over again about how strongly they felt that the need for more information and the power of that need for more information to make their decisions. This enrollee stated this, said, "I think more people would sign up if they explained sufficiently about the donation. In order to make Koreans sign up, they must know the exact reasons why." The second series of quotes is actually from an interview from an enrollee that, in the first part of his interview, was very knowledgeable about the steps involved with donation. And those that expression of knowledge changes in the second half, which you'll see. He started off by saying, "They try to find a match among enrollees. When there's a match, it's the enrollee's duty to donate his bone marrow. They use a needle to extract the bone marrow, but I don't think it would be painful. And went on to describe in depth the steps involved with getting contacted and making the donation. Later on, when the interviewer then started asking questions specifically about willingness to donate, this person started to hedge what their knowledge was and said, I'm willing to be a donor if I match, but I need to find out more about the bone marrow donation first. I need to know the procedures. As I told you earlier, I don't have the slightest idea about stem cell donation. We noticed as we went through these transcripts that there were really sort of three loci of where people thought of the location where the decision lied to donate or not to donate. And these three loci, oftentimes within the same individual, there are oftentimes expressions of all three of these ideas. And sometimes people would go very freely back and forth between these three ideas. The first was sort of what we thought of as a very Western sort of biomedical kind of individual decision. The person themselves is responsible for making the decision about donation. This enrollee said, I have three kids and a wife. I did not tell my family yet, but they won't oppose my decision. I can't tell other Koreans what to do. They have their own belief, and I don't want to force anything on anyone. The second location where people really had to make the decision about donation was centered around discussions about the family and Confucianism. Here's an illustrative quote. This person said, why do you think fewer Asians sign up for donation? And he said, maybe this is the effect of Confucianism. Koreans and other Asians have a longer history compared to Western culture. Most Asians think that we cannot do anything with our body because our parents gave it to us. We think that we're not allowed to do anything with our bodies. And so this person was expressing very explicitly the idea that it wasn't their decision, that this was given to them through the relationship, through their ancestors and through their family. And even in very subtle ways, this idea that the family was responsible for helping make this decision and it wasn't their own decision to make is illustrated here from this female enrollee. At the time, I made the decision about donation by myself. But since I have a family, I need to get consent from my family members. I need to get permission from my husband at least. As I mentioned, all of these three drives were done at churches, and so not surprisingly, we saw some expressions of how Christian beliefs and Christian ideas influenced their decision to donate. And even very explicitly saying that the body wasn't their own body, that this was a gift from God. This person said, this 19-year-old said, being in the church might make you feel like Jesus is teaching us out of love to help each other out. You know, he sacrificed his whole body first, and maybe we can try to donate a part of us. I'm Christian, and I've had a Christian life for a long time. Since childhood, my idea of donation has been formed naturally. When we die, our bodies will perish, but our souls will live forever in heaven with new consummated bodies. I haven't had any negative thoughts regarding donation since I was a child. Kind of rearranged in slightly different ways, we changed these sort of ideas about the locus of where the decisions were made and put them in these concentric circles. And I think this is a useful idea that we shared with our community partners. The first was this idea of individual, that the person individually is the one who's making the decision. And instead of talking not only about the family, but we expanded this somewhat to say the local Korean community also is helping. The benefit from the donation is also potentially for the local Korean community, not just for the individual. And then larger American society is where much of the recruitment material for the National Merit Donor Program is focused. Help donate, help someone else in society. And so people within this series of interviews made these expressions of how they were willing to donate, not just for themselves or their family, but within the larger American society. But we saw that there are these very conflicted, very ambivalent viewpoints about this, and that much of these ambivalent viewpoints seem to center around, well, you know, maybe I need to protect my family, maybe I need to protect our resources within our family and not share these resources because of the challenges that my family faces. And ironically, we said up front that the chances of matching donation actually works better if you increase the number of people from within the same community. So what we wanted encouraged and what we shared with our community partners was that the discussion actually needs to go back towards help your own community, help your own family, help your own people within your own churches, not just help your own larger society. And that actually this message is the one that we think is going to ultimately be more successful in helping to increase the number of potential donors within the National Merit Donor Program. As I mentioned, these were all done at community drives at churches and may not be representative of all Korean Americans. And statements obviously are potentially at risk for this idea of, you know, hearing what the interviewer wants to hear. Ultimately, we are going to follow up among the enrollees and do a follow-up interviews 1 year following their enrollment to see how their ideas and beliefs changed over time. We have an ongoing discussion with our community partners about how changes to recruitment strategies might be made to increase the number of enrollees. And we're in negotiation with the National Merit Donor Program to try to pilot test future interventions to increase retention among potential donors. And thank you, and I welcome questions.
One or two questions.
Do you think by conducting the drives at churches that it is found growing? Because sometimes stem cell research versus religious beliefs kind of conflict.
This was a research project of opportunity because the Korean Merit Donor Campaign was doing these drives in churches. And those of you who know the Korean community know that, you know, depending on where you're looking at, between 70 and 85% will attend church on a regular basis. So we can talk about representativeness, about, you know, how these reflect what the larger Korean community is like. But I think that this is, you know, the way that we did the research, and I think this is important to our community partners.
Anyone else? Well, thank you very much, John. Next, I would like to welcome Jun Kim, Program Coordinator with the Association of Asian Pacific Community Health Organizations. And she will be presenting.